Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com. Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Merkel Media.
My new book, Hypocrisy, is available now on Amazon as a paperback and a Kindle. The link will be in the description. If you want to buy the digital version of it directly from me, you can do so. Go to my website, theoctopusofglobalcontrol.com. Donate $10 via PayPal. I'll send you the new book in an EPUB and PDF format. If you donate $15 or more, I'll send you the new book plus the first book, The Octopus of Global Control. Thanks, everybody.
What does the goddamn line say, Tony?
Please do not use gendered language.
Then what? I'll be arrested, put in airport jail.
Look, you're going completely sideways, man.
It's a big club, and you ain't in it.
How dare you?
Mr. Speaker, the President of the United States.
I'm Chris Hansen with Dave on NBC.
Jack Mary is Tack Theratrix.
I am Spartacus.
Steve Jackson, Sacramento, he, him.
Steven Seagal.
Sex offender guy.
I'm Keith Morrison.
This is Muammar Gaddafi.
I'm Rick James, bitch.
Sorting through the lies.
The hijacker's passport was found blocks from the World Trade Center crash site, if you can believe that.
We cannot track $2.3 trillion in transactions.
And uncovering the centuries-long plan for world domination.
Learning about Cuba, having some food.
Let's talk about Chinese people.
Have you ever been in a Turkish prison?
I have
a prison!
I have sent six of my Libyan missiles to blow up the Sears hardware department.
Nothing could be more fun than jumping off a cliff to German bisexuals.
Oh, you English are so superior, aren't you?
Thank you, comrade.
And now, macroaggressions.
That's what assholes call it.
With your host.
Buddy, I don't know who you are, but you're about to get chlamydia.
Charlie Robinson.
Hey, Whitey, where's your hat?
You want to drop the blame on Charlie and say it's all Charlie's fault?
He was a retard.
I get some goddamn diuretic.
Welcome to Macroaggressions. I'm your host, Charlie Robinson. How are you feeling today? I hope you're doing well. I hope you're listening to this while you're doing something really productive, like going to the gym or gardening or whatever. Hey, the new book, it's out. It's available. You can get it at Amazon. Or if you want to get, if you like the digital format of books better, or you have a philosophical difference with Amazon, you can reach out to me directly and buy the digital version of the new book, Hypocrisy, through the website, theoctopusofglobalcontrol.com. You go there, there's a PayPal option that if you donate $10, I will send you the new book. I'll send you two formats of it, the PDF format, and that you can read anywhere on any computer, and also the EPUB format as well, which is for e-readers. So you can just plug that in if you've got an e-reader and read it that way. If you donate $10, I'll send you the first book, or I'm sorry, the new book. If you donate $15 or more, I'll send you the new book and the first book as well, The Octopus of Global Control. So you'll get two books, and you'll get them both PDFs and EPUBs for your e-readers. That's the option. I hope you are interested in checking it out. The book is wild, man. It is wild. But if you're a traditionalist and you like the paperback format, and I certainly understand that, or you want to buy a book and send it to your friends or family, the link will be in the description. It is available right now on Amazon. Let's see what we can do. Let's see how long it takes for them to, I don't know, try to censor it, maybe. Oh, it's possible. I did the things that you need to do to hide it from the censors there. You know, I didn't put it in the descriptions. I mean, I put it in the description, but I didn't put it in the subject, like the headline or the second headline. There's no word COVID in there, which I know will get you flagged. I had Joel Hirshhorn on this show, and he wrote a book about COVID, and it got yanked off of Amazon right away, and he got me a strike on YouTube just for having him on. So I know that there's some fuckery happening on Amazon when it comes to stuff like that, so I kind of had to hide it. I'll put the link in the description, but if you choose to go to Amazon and just search yourself, just type in hypocrisy. It's spelled differently. It's HYPOCRAZY, hypocrazy. Or you can search my name, Charlie Robinson, and you will find it there. And listen, I appreciate it. Thank you so much for supporting the book. You know, the funny thing about the cover is, and shout out to Mike Farron, who is the creator of the cover for me. It's a very disarming cover. I intentionally wanted it to be kind of cartoonish and whimsical and fun so that you go, oh, look at this fun book. I'm going to pick it up. And then as your brain is melting from it, you realize this was a bait and switch. The cover was very disarming. Once I got into this book, it was heavy duty. And so I thank you all for showing the interest. I've gotten so many emails from people saying, when's it coming out? It's out. It's out. Thank you so much. Please support the show and check it out. And speaking of supporting the show, if you want to support our sponsors, look, if you're in the market for vitamins, we all know that it's hit or miss with vitamins. We just know. You never know what you're getting. I can tell you from my personal experience and stake my reputation on it, whatever that's worth at this point, that it works. It absolutely works. Chemicalfreebody.com is making vitamins that actually work. Okay. So my concern with vitamins are twofold. First, I'm always convinced that they don't work and I'm paying for something that is just going flushing right through my system. And the second component is whenever I buy vitamins, they always make my stomach hurt. Like they make me feel like I want to throw up from them. So I had to buy like the food-based vitamins that they sell at Whole Foods. I'm like, okay, great. They don't make my stomach hurt. But once again, I don't know if they're working. I can tell you with Chemical Free Body two things for sure. First of all, they absolutely work, because I've been taking them and it works. And second of all, it doesn't upset my stomach. Now, obviously, I can't make any sort of predictions about how it will work with you. But if you are in my boat, which is I'm kind of indifferent, I really don't love vitamins because they make me feel a little queasy. Well, at least know that in my case, I haven't had that effect. That hasn't happened. So if you're interested, go to chemicalfreebody.com and just take a look. Just do some shopping. On your way out, use the promo code MACRO to save yourself some money. If you're interested in seeing my little video that I recorded after my 90-day gut toxin detox cleanse in a box, as he describes it, you can go to chemicalfreebody.com/macro and just see the little video I put out and see for yourself. See if it's right for you. And also, if you're getting prepped, let me rephrase that. Get prepped. Get prepared for what's coming. You may choose to do so through preparewithmacroaggressions.com. And if you do that, I think you'll be in good hands. Well, I know you'll be in good hands. They have 4-week supplies of food. They have 3-month supplies of food. They have all sorts of accessories that you need. Anything that you need for like prepping and survival, they've got it. So if you are in the market for that, and I hope that you are, go take a look at preparewithmacroaggressions.com. You can find just about everything you need there. If you want to do it a different way, that's cool too. Just get prepared. Just start thinking about that. Add a couple extra you know, cans of food to your weekly grocery shopping habits and start sort of stocking that up and start thinking about these things, because I think we're going to need it. I hope we don't. It's better to be prepared than not be prepared. Boy, we're just in a weird time. We're in like the calm before the storm, I guess. But even now, it's not really that calm. Certainly doesn't feel calm to me. And part of the reason why I feel so uneasy about the future, and I want to be optimistic, and I try to be optimistic, but man, I got to tell you, this Biden administration is really a band of morons. And I think that's being about as nice about them as I can be. I won't continue this level of niceties as the episode goes on. I assure you, as we get into some of the disasters that they have manufactured themselves. And look, for those that are new to the show, I always feel like I have to do this disclaimer, because whenever you start bashing one side, there is a large segment of the population that makes the assumption that, well, you must be on the other side. If you're bashing Biden, then you must be a Trump guy. No, I understand that. Okay. I think a lot of times that is the case, but not here, not with me. I think not with a lot of the other shows and people that run shows that I know. We seem to be in agreement that we don't like either side. And I can bash Joe Biden, and that doesn't imply that I'm somehow on the Trump train, because I'm not. Now, there were some aspects of Trump that I liked, you know, things that he did, like constantly fucking with the media, which I think is brilliant. But there were also plenty of things that he did that I thought were reprehensible, and I don't like him personally as a human being. I think he's a bad guy. But I at least, God, and I never thought I would say this, I at least saw Trump as a strong version of a president. Now, he may be wrong in his dictates and things like that, but he acted confident. He acted like he knew what he was doing. Maybe he did, maybe he didn't. But he acted as if. And he was bold. And when he walked into a room, he commanded a combination of like a little bit of respect, a whole lot of fear, kind of like if a guy with a machete just walked in the room and you're looking at him like, okay, where's the exit door? I might need that in the future. What is this guy going to do? That was Trump. When Biden walks into the room, you know, I feel like he should be wheeled in on like a two-hand little dolly, you know, like a little hand truck where you just like you're loading boxes on it, wheeling around the store. Load him up, wheel him out on that thing, drop him off right in front of the podium. And when he's done speaking, you just come back up, scoop him back up, tilt the thing back, and wheel him right off the stage. I mean, he is Weekend at Bernie's president. He is the guy that doesn't know, you know, may or may not have had his butt wiped and admitted it to the press. He constantly tells the press he's not allowed to talk to them. When he is allowed to talk to them, he has specific journalists like Nora O'Donnell that he's told to call on first. This is a weak president. And I never thought I would say that as a negative, because the truth is, strong presidents get us into a lot of trouble too. So I don't love the idea of a strong presidential administration, because it makes me think of George W. Bush, who he was not strong, but the neocons, the Dick Cheneys, the Rumsfelds, Wolfowitzes, these guys knew how to navigate Washington, D.C. Biden does too, but his faculties are compromised. But when the Bush administration took over, you got the feeling that there was going to be problems, but it wasn't going to be for a lack of understanding how to navigate the swamp of Washington, D.C. They were the swamp of Washington, D.C. They knew exactly what to do, who to talk to, how to control people. The Biden administration looks like they're making it up as they go. And there's part of me that actually kind of likes that, in a sense that if they're strong, if the Biden administration is strong with their crazy ideology, that could be really dangerous for us. But the Biden administration is very weak, and they have this crazy ideology that I don't think they'll be able to impose on everybody simply because of the weakness of the administration. So when I criticize the weakness of the Biden administration, I'm mocking them for it. But there's part of me that also recognizes that it is also a good thing for them to be a weak administration, because we don't want them to be strong. If they knew exactly how to navigate and exactly what to do to push this woke agenda and this, you know, three bathrooms and, you know, all of this stuff that they're working on, you know, I would prefer they be incompetent rather than competent, because their ideas are toxic poison, and they should, and hopefully they don't have the ability to institute these policies in a way that's meaningful. Because right now, I think people look at the Biden administration and they see it as a three-legged stool. With the three legs being COVID, foreign policy, and the economy. And I would suggest that Biden is failing in all three of these. And I'm not surprised, too. It's not like I thought he was going to come in and be a real foreign policy hawk, you know, and like get in there and be like, hey, this is exactly what we're going to do. No. I knew he would botch that. But, and COVID, of course, we recognize is a massive operation. So I feel like he will keep that charade going. But the problem with his COVID, and we're going to get into detail on all this, but just on the surface level, the problem with his COVID response is that it's coming from a person in Joe Biden that nobody really knows what to make of right now. He's not a strong president. He is emotionally unprepared for this job. The shouting, you know, the confrontations with reporters and things, and not in the way Trump did it. Trump had a reason to do it. Biden is confused, and his interactions emotionally seem he just seems fragile. He is mentally incapacitated. That is undeniable. And I'm not trying to be a jerk here. Okay, I recognize that he is an older gentleman who has been on this planet for a long time, may or may not have been drinking lots of adrenochrome. I don't know. But he is not well. He's not well. He's not the old Joe Biden. Because the old Joe Biden was a ruthless, cunning psychopath. If you watch any of his, you know, speeches on C-SPAN or things like that, you will see a version of Joe Biden that is much different than the version that we get now. I mean, I mean, there's people out there that will make the claim that he's been replaced. I don't know about that. But it doesn't matter, because he's not the same version of himself that he was back in the 80s. You know, or in the 90s when he was saying we got to shut down all these raves and all that stuff, you know, that whole shtick where he's tough on crime and extremely tough on drugs while having a crackhead son who is both a criminal and a drug addict, but whatever. So the version of Joe Biden that we see right now is a disaster, and it's reflected in his ratings. And I don't normally get, I still don't get too concerned with polls, approval rating polls or this or that, you know, because you who are you asking? You know, who are you polling? How many people are you actually polling? Who is dumb enough to answer their phone and take one of these polls? I don't know. But according to the current polls, which we can take into consideration or discount all the way out, I don't care. It shows his disapproval rating at 55%. and his foreign policy disapproval rating at 59%. Frankly, I'm wondering why it's that high, but I guess there's some people out there that are just on the Democratic side, no matter what, even if their guy is failing in every way that you can fail, which Joe Biden is, they're still going to say he's doing a great job because he's their guy. And, or they're going to say, well, in their mind, the alternative would be Trump. And would I rather have a frazzled Joe Biden than an angry Donald Trump? Oh, I'll take the frazzled Joe Biden. So they're going to say he's doing a great job. But the truth is he's not doing a great job. He's not doing a great job at all. It's provable. It's not even like opinion based anymore. Early on, it was probably opinion based, but the statistics that they are, or the charts that they are showing right now, as of currently, has 70% of the people that were polled in this poll that I don't know. Once again, I don't know where the poll came from. 70% showed dissatisfaction with the direction of the United States. Now, I don't know if this poll is accurate or not, but that sounds a bit low to me. But whatever, given the fact that, there's going to be a segment that's just we're the blue team's in charge, so we're going to say the blue team is doing a great job. Whatever. There's going to be that segment. You're never going to get 100%. But 70% dissatisfied with the direction of the United States, I would say, yeah. Why is that number so low? Who are the 30%? Who are these optimistic 30% out there? I would love to meet them and hear what they have to say about the direction of this country. Because are they paying attention? Because what I see is mismanagement everywhere, like to the point where you have to consider the possibility that the mismanagement is intentional, because to believe that it is authentic is to then understand that we are truly being run by morons, which may be the case. The military mismanagement alone is reflected in the Afghanistan departure. Now, allow me to give Joe Biden one compliment, and it's a small one, and it's got a lot of caveats to it, but I will say this. He got us out of Afghanistan, but there's a big asterisk next to that. Anyone who got us out, who ended that war, great. Here's my caveat to that. I don't think the war is officially over. I do believe it is privatized. I do believe that our intelligence agencies are all over that place. And I also believe that it is the setup and the launching pad for another round of our invisible enemies that are out to get us. And they're all just around that corner over there. And if the military industrial complex doesn't get another $1 trillion, well, those terrorists are going to come get you in the middle of the night, right? So I say that he's ended the war in Afghanistan officially. So I'll give him whatever sort of credit you can give for that. But that's where the credit ends. Because for one, Trump's plan for removal was better than Biden's plan for removal. And that it has more to do with the calendar than it does anything else. Trump wanted to be out in May. Early part of May. As Scott Horton, who came on the show, described it, once you get past May, that's fighting season in Afghanistan. So he wanted to be out while it was still cold and while the Taliban or whoever, whoever the boogeyman du jour is done, that they were still hibernating with the bears during winter while we plan this removal. That's what Donald Trump wanted to do. Biden said, I don't want to do that. We've got different ideas. Now, we're going to do it in August, which Scott would tell you is the exact wrong time to do it. Now, I don't know how much of that was that new information had come out or what. But my assumption is, and it's an assumption, My assumption is that they changed that pullout date because it was Trump's pullout date. And they went with something that was entirely Biden's plan so that Biden could get the credit for it when it happens instead of having to share the credit by implementing Trump's plan. So they say, well, we won't leave in May because that's Trump's plan. We're going to do it our way and we'll leave in August. Well, guess what? If you choose to do that and you choose to give up Trump's plan, which, you know, to be fair, you don't know if that plan's going to work, but the timing of it was much better. You then own that removal. Okay. You own it. It becomes your removal, no longer Trump's. Trump wanted to be out in May. Okay. That's when he wanted to be out. He had reasons for it. There were people telling him this is when you need to leave. And that's when he said, we're leaving. Had he become president for a second term, that's when we would have left. And of course, things would have been different. How different? We'll never know, but they would have been different. Biden decides, yeah, let's instead leave Bagram Air Force Base in the middle of the night. And when I say the middle of the night, I mean literally in the middle of the night. Cut the power off, left in the middle of the night. And then removed the rest of the people from Kabul Airport, which, I've never been to Afghanistan, but from what I'm told and what I've read and what I've seen, Kabul Airport is in the middle of the city of Kabul, which is the capital. It is surrounded by mountains that aren't that far away. And it is right in the middle of the city. From a strategic standpoint, it is not where you want to leave from. You could have people sitting in those mountains with rockets. You could have them sitting there with sniper rifles. You could have people on the rooftops of buildings. It's just strategically, it's a disaster of an airport to leave from. There's sight lines everywhere. Why you would not leave from Bagram is beyond me. It just is. Why you wouldn't leave, why you wouldn't get the people out first, the people that you need to get out first from a secured Air Force base that's an hour away that is on flat land where you don't have, high ground issues. Why you wouldn't just load everybody that you needed to get out there? It wasn't like they just woke up one day and said, we have 6 hours to get out. We had years to get out. We have logistics teams of the Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, Coast Guard, that all they do is manage the logistics of moving things in and out. How you botch that is beyond me, unless it's intentional. And here's why I think it was intentional. To leave behind $85 billion worth of equipment is criminal. Okay. It's criminal. It's illogical. It's a strategic blunder. It's all those things. Even a dumbass like me with no military training, I didn't go to the US War College. I don't need to understand this. We all understand it. The escape from Afghanistan was a disaster. Unabashed disaster. Not up for debate. What is up for debate is whether or not that was intentional. And I believe it was. And the reason why I believe it was because it is almost impossible to be that stupid, to screw things up that badly without it being on purpose. And to leave that much equipment behind, to me, was to finance, was to arm, and to become a military contractor for the Taliban. Or whoever fills that void, whoever takes on that role, ISIS-K. Stop. Just fucking stop, okay, with the ISIS-K. But adding insult and, God, I don't even know what you, adding insult and injury to this is the drone strike that then happened as a result of the car bomb that happened at the Kabul airport. Americans are trying to leave out of the Kabul airport. It's chaos. Bunch of Afghans that had helped us They're trying to leave too. They're trying to get on their plane saying, hey man, we are not going to be well liked when you guys leave and the old guys come back. They're going to come looking for us. You left them databases with all of our names and the biometrics of all of us so they know who we are. We're not going to be able to talk our way out of this. We are marked for death. You botch this removal. You leave us all stuck trying to get in the gates of the airport. A truck bomb goes off, killing tons of people, creating even more chaos. The United States, when all you've got is a hammer, every problem looks like a nail. And when all you've got is a drone, every problem looks like a drone strike. They decided that the best thing to do would be to blow up a truck or a van or whatever that's filled with, quote, terrorists that were responsible for this as a show that America is still going to retaliate if you do something against us and our troops and our allies and our stuff. Except that the van that they hit with the drone bomb was filled with 7 children and 3 adults. And they were not terrorists. You know who the terrorists were in this whole operation? Us. The American military. The American government is the largest terrorist organization on the planet. And you will know that because nobody conducts more terrorist activity than the United States military. Barack Obama, or as my co-author Jeff Berwick describes him, Barack Drone Bomber, dropped so many bombs on the Middle East that they ran out of them. We've talked about this before. It's a comment that sounds like it's made up. Like it sounds like like something you say in an argument when you're losing. But in actuality, they did. They dropped so many bombs that they ran out and they had, my feeling was you're not always making, but I feel like there's got to be a company that's like, listen, America's our biggest supply, our biggest contractor. Like we make bombs 24/7. Like how do you run out of bombs? But whatever, they ran out of bombs. This is because we use this strategy of destroying everything. The Biden administration decided, well, we're going to go back to our old drone bomber roots and get this terrorist that blew up a truck bomb, and we're going to get them back by blowing up their truck with a missile from some drone that's, 8,000 feet above flying around spying on them. You better make sure you got your information straight, though. Because when you're trying to manage the worst retreat in the history of warfare, you can't afford for something like that to happen. And of course, that's exactly what happened. Drone strike a van full of kids while trying to get a van full of terrorists is the most American thing Joe Biden could have done to pull out. It's somehow perfectly fitting. Then we have the Australian submarine deal. Have you heard of that? Oh, this is an interesting one. So Australia did a deal with the United Kingdom. Australia had a deal in place with France to build a fleet of nuclear-powered submarines for them. It's going to be a big deal for France, right? They're building these submarines. They've got themselves a nice customer. They're going to take, I think Australia said they wanted 6 of them. And this is a big deal for France. Well, the United States and the United Kingdom teamed up and they said to Australia, hey, why don't we'll do them for you. Why don't you use us instead? And they go, okay, fine. They cut France out of the deal. Now, I have no problem with cutting Macron and his band of morons out of any deal. I have no problem with making them look stupid. They deserve to be made to look stupid because they are stupid. Emmanuel Macron, to say he's a Rothschild agent is an understatement. He literally worked for Rothschild Limited for a long, long time. He's a globalist scumbag of the highest order, so I have no love for him. But he just got a little taste of what happens when you think that America's on your side. They'll sell your ass out in a second. Oh, but I thought we were allies, and now you're cutting in and taking this deal from us. We were going to build the subs for Australia, but now you guys are here. Oh, well, did you think that our government was going to not do something like that? Did you think the Australian government, that's run by authoritarian psychopaths, was going to have some sort of loyalty? I mean, with all due respect to France, and the people of France are awesome, man. They're out there protesting every weekend. It's like a national sport for them. They're the best at doing that. But like, to the government of France, did you really think that you were going to be able to trust the authoritarian maniacs in Australia? Are you not watching what's going on there? So America has burned a bridge with France, and France immediately recalled their ambassadors, which is hysterical. They recalled them from the United States and Australia. You've got more military mismanagement with Anthony Blinken, the Secretary of State for the Biden administration. If you remember, he went to Alaska to have a meeting with the Chinese, and they walked in there in that meeting like they were all tough guys, and the Chinese told them what's what. The Chinese said, nah, we're not interested in dealing with you on this. And they got nothing accomplished because the Chinese told Blinken exactly where he could go. And he had to come home with his tail between his legs after an embarrassing defeat in this negotiations with the Chinese, where the Chinese said, we'll give you nothing. You'll get nothing and like it, Spalding. And so Joe Biden that now has a phone conversation with Xi, which I'm sure was interesting. Those two guys trying to communicate to each other must have been a sight to behold. But during that conversation, Joe Biden said, well, maybe, you know, what we should do is we should get together in person and discuss this. And you know what Xi's response to him was? No, we're good. We're okay. We don't need that. We don't need to sit down and have a discussion with you. Okay. Now, that could be for a variety of reasons. Could be because they're partners already on stuff. I mean, we know that there's the Biden administration and the Chinese administration are kind of working together. Now, exactly what that relationship actually looks like, I don't know, a little murky. It's not to say that, you know, I mean, we know the Biden administration was doing dirty deals with Ukraine too. So I'm not of the belief that the Biden administration is 100% involved with the Chinese operation, but I think that they have, I think that there's some partnering going on there, but it doesn't matter because the Chinese are making the Chinese are making the Americans look weak. The Americans are making themselves look weak, and the Chinese are then reacting off of that. They're giving them the respect that they deserve, which is close to zero. And then after you see what's going on at the southern border fiasco, where you've got 220,000 people a month coming in up through Mexico, through the porous southern border of America. And, you know, look, for those of you without a map or for those of you that aren't in America and don't understand, to be fair, that southern border is thousands of miles long. There's a lot to contain, but some of it is like inhabitable, you know, uninhabitable, I should say, where you're going to be like crossing the desert for weeks and weeks to try and, you know, to get in and everything. So there's part of it that you don't have to monitor as carefully as others. But when you've got helicopter footage of thousands of people just kind of mulling around in this one location, or they're kind of walking across this low part in a river and streaming across the border, and nobody's there to stop them. In fact, quite the opposite. If they are being detained, they're detained quickly and then put on airplanes and buses and resettled all over the United States. What is going on? You know, like, Trump, for all his insanity, and believe me, there was buckets of it, he viewed the southern border as a pivotal component of to his plan, making America great again. It's hard to make America great again when you can't control who's coming into America, right? It's easy to make America a disheveled husk of itself when you just open the southern flank and say, everybody that wants to come in, come on in. And look, to be fair, and from a compassionate humanitarian side here, I don't blame most of the people that are coming up and trying to come into America. If you're living in Honduras or some, you know, El Salvador, someplace where we're currently destabilizing the government and financing death squads and they're rounding up villagers and executing them and doing all these things, I'd be on the move too. Okay. So I'm not trying to shit on these people that are trying to, in search of a better place to live and raise their family. I have no problem with them given their situation. The problem is that America in part is creating the situations in their home countries to destabilize them, to give them the pretext to be on the move in the first place. So while we're complaining about this border crisis situation, we're acting as if we don't know what's causing it. We're causing it. We're absolutely causing it. And then on top of that, it's being exacerbated by financing through Soros groups and stuff like that, that they want this to happen. They want this strategy. They want a bunch of people to flood into the country. And the reason why they want them to flood into the country is because there is a strategy to this. It's called Clower and Piven. Clower and Piven were two guys back in the 60s, I think. It might have been the 50s. That said, listen, we have this strategy for remaking the welfare system. We want to remake the welfare system. How are we going to do it? Well, what they decided was they're going to invite everybody to join the welfare system. So they went to all of the impoverished communities and said, get on welfare. And then they would say to some people, well, you need to get on welfare too. And they said, well, I don't really like the idea of it. And maybe I don't qualify. They said, doesn't matter. Get on welfare. They did that so that everybody would get on welfare so that the system would become overloaded and broken so that once it's broken, they could remake it in the image in which they chose to remake it. That is a strategy that I believe the Biden administration is encouraging. I think that's the reason why there isn't a solution to the southern border crisis, because they don't want there to be a solution to the southern border crisis. Because as long as these people are streaming in and being told, welcome to the United States, the Biden administration welcomes you, please vote Democrat, please vote Democrat, then you have a new batch of people coming in that they want to get involved in voting for their guys. Now you might say, yeah, well, they're not citizens. They're not eligible to vote. Do you think that really matters? I mean, do you see what the Democrats are doing? They're saying you can't ask for ID because that's racist. it's racist to ask for ID, you know, because those black people can't figure out IDs. I mean, it's the most insulting shit I've ever heard. And yet, this is what they're doing. So when we talk about the three-legged stool of the Biden administration, leg one, foreign policy. Disastrous military mismanagement in Afghanistan, the drone strikes, the Australian sub deal, the southern border, the lack of respect from China, and every way in which you can fuck up your foreign policy, the Biden administration is right there. But it's not, that's one leg. What about COVID? I mean, what about COVID, really? Piggybacking off of what we were just talking about with the southern border fiasco, well, you know, those refugees that are flooding across the border, they're not getting vaccinated, which is kind of weird to me, because the Biden administration's obsession with vaccination, you'd think that they'd make it a condition, but they haven't. They want you to get vaccinated. They want you to lose your job. And then they'll give it to one of the guys that just streamed across the border. A lot of Haitians too, by the way. they have another earthquake, which is horrible. And, you know, I wish nothing but the best for the Haitian people. Talk about bad luck. And, well, a little bit of bad luck, a little bit of colonialism, a little bit of the Clinton Foundation. You know how that works. But they're streaming across the border as well. Unvaccinated, right? There's no push there. So you automatically have this hypocrisy when it comes to the COVID thing, where they're demanding you get vaccinated. And Don Lemon goes on CNN and says, you know, that everyone that doesn't take the vaccine is stupid. You don't know what's in Botox and you're injecting that into your... Don Lemon is the dumbest person on television. And as Sam Tripoli says, I'll fight him for charity. I'll fight Don Lemon for charity too. I'll fight Don Lemon for fun. But, you know, the thing about Biden's COVID response or stance is that if you watch that speech he gave, that press conference that where he demonized anti-vaxxers, you have to understand that was a dangerous speech. Because what he did was he demonized people that do not want to take the vaccine for whatever reason. Maybe they have a medical condition. Maybe their doctor is saying you don't need it. Maybe they caught COVID before and have antibodies and they're going with their natural immunity. They say, I want to ride that way. Maybe they just don't want it. But regardless of your reasoning for it, when you segregate a segment of the population like that and demonize them, you are setting the groundwork for genocide. Now, that might sound like a bold statement, or it might sound, a bit much. I didn't say that genocide is going to happen immediately, but that is the groundwork for it. That is how you do it. You take a small segment of the population, you denounce them for their lack of patriotism, right? Getting the vaccine, taking the vaccine is patriotism now, right? According to the Biden administration and Trump too. Well, I'm not going to leave him out of this. He turned into the biggest vaccine salesman in the world, so he can fuck off for that too. But we're specifically talking about the Biden administration right now. When you say a segment of the population is opening us up to danger because they refuse to go along with the masses, you then demonize them. You make them appear less than human, call them insects or whatever. You might even do something like, oh, I don't know, put a gold star on them. Ban them from shopping in certain stores, right? I mean, that turned out well for a segment, you know, for a certain religious group, right? Sarcasm font on that one. But anybody that's going along with this and doesn't recognize where this is headed, well, just watch a World War II documentary, because this is the pretext for that. The others, othering people. But you know what it is? On top of all of that, besides being dangerous and horrific and bad business and a horrible idea, it's also a sign of weakness. It really is. It's a sign of weakness from the Biden administration, you know, because clearly this is the backup plan. They wouldn't be doing the shaming of everybody if things were going well. In a normal pandemic, you say, we've got this deadly virus. Everybody's dying. We've got this this cure for it. Do you want the cure for it? And it becomes evident on its face that you should take the cure because the alternative is certain death. We don't have that scenario here. So what they're having to do is they're having to force you to take the vaccine. They're having to convince you, to incentivize you. God knows we've gone on endlessly about the Talladega laps and the donuts and the beer and the free everything, the lottery tickets for participating in this vaccine. That was the carrot component of the vaccine rollout. We are now currently in the stick part of the rollout, which is to say that they've already offered us all the donuts they're going to offer us. Now it's get in the boxcars and be resettled in the East, or we're going to lock you out of polite society. And you know, look, it's also a sign of weakness that he has to have OSHA do his dirty work for him. That's Occupation Safety Hazardous Administration or something like that. He has to have OSHA, which, to be fair, OSHA manages like making sure workplaces are safe and you're not working next to like an open flame and these materials aren't kept next to those materials. You know, it's sort of like a policy to make sure it's a government agency that goes around and checks out businesses to make sure that they're in compliance. And I think a lot of the things that OSHA does is like logical and reasonable and tries to make things safe for workers. But like any government organization, they also get bogged down in the minutiae and start enforcing stupid shit that doesn't matter. But anyway, the point is that Joe Biden knows that he doesn't have the legal authority to actually mandate all these companies force people to get the vaccine. So he does a chicken shit thing, which is what you do when you're a weak president like Joe Biden. You say to OSHA, well, I'll have you be the bad guy. I'll have you go do this. You go tell all these companies that have 100 or more people that they have to do it or else you're going to impose fines on them. Fucking unenforceable. Totally unenforceable. Good luck. Get ready for the lawsuits. In fact, if you want to know how to beat this, everybody files lawsuits. Overwhelm the system. You want to use Clower and Piven strategy to break a system? Well, the government is not prepared to handle all these lawsuits. Your employer is not prepared to handle all of these lawsuits. Start suing people. Let the courts get involved. You want to go down this path? You want to fire 18 people at your office for not taking the vaccine? You're going to get 18 lawsuits. Deal with that. Oh shit, maybe we shouldn't have done this. Too late, guys. So there's lots of pushback. The good news is there's lots of pushback. There's pushback from cops, from police unions. There's pushback from firemen, from nurses. I mean, you've seen the numbers. You've seen the numbers that 40%, 80%, whatever. Nurses, they're saying, we're not taking these jabs. I'm not working with all these people, watching them come in vaccinated with COVID. And by the way, those stories of 90% of the people in the ICU beds are unvaccinated. That's bullshit. It's a total lie. I have plenty of nurses that email me on the show and they said, it's the exact opposite. The only people we're seeing are the ones that are vaccinated. I shouldn't say the only. The overwhelming majority of people that we see are the ones that are vaccinated that have it. It's if you want to do the 90-10 rule, they say it's like 90% of the people are vaccinated, not the other way around. So you've got and another sign of Biden's weakening, well, his just overt weakness is the fact that the FDA themselves, the Fraud and Death Administration, an organization so corrupt that they shouldn't be trusted for anything, but even they are pushing back against booster shots and the Biden administration. They're saying, no. We're not approving this right now. Now, to be crystal clear, I think they will approve booster shots at some point, but even they are saying, slow down a little bit, man. You're making it too obvious. Like, we can't just go straight to all these booster shots immediately. You're getting ahead of the schedule. But let me tell you this. Let me tell you why they are in the mad push to get everybody vaccinated. And no, it is not for our health. We have established that this is the same government that looks for new reasons to destroy us, taxing us to death, sending us off to die at war, poisoning products, spraying things in our sky, putting fluoride in the water, you name it. The government is looking for new and inventive and creative ways to kill us. Yet all of a sudden they care about our health so much that they want us to get vaccinated. No, the reason for the push to get everybody vaccinated is to destroy the control group. You see, if there's 60% of the country vaccinated and 40% of the country unvaccinated, if you just let this game play out over the next 2 years, what you can see is how do those two groups do? That's science, right? That's like the science that you're supposed to do. You know, the control group that does it, that takes the placebo and thinks that they've got the medicine, but they actually don't. And then the other group, which we give them the medicine, and then we see. Then we check the results and we see, all right, we gave these people nothing and they did nothing. We gave these people the medicine and they did great. Great. The medicine works. Okay. But if they've got 40% of the population not getting the vaccine and 60% of the population getting the vaccine, and then we have a SPARS pandemic situation where it kills everybody, and then you notice, hey, 60% of the population just up and died, you will rightly be able to determine, hey, I guess it was the vaccine. But if everybody's vaccinated and a huge percentage of the population just up and dies, they can then say, well, that's the variant. That's not the vaccine, of course. That's the new variant. That's the lambda, lambda, lambda variant. That's the trilam variant. I mean, it's so frustrating. Hey, listen, the Biden administration came out with that crazy speech where they started talking about how they were going to get everybody, you know, vaccinated, and that our patience is wearing thin. Go fuck yourself. Our patience with you is wearing thin. If you want to know the truth, our patience with the Biden administration and this whole COVID operation is wearing thin. Oh no, Joe Biden is impatient with me. I do not care. You know who does care? 24 different Republican attorney generals. They care because they have threatened lawsuits if the mandate is passed. And they're ready to fight in court, which is where you got to fight this battle. We're seeing massive vaccine passports pushed back by people. We're seeing concerts. People are in concerts. Oh, you've got to have a vaccine pass to get in this concert. What? Guess what happens? Nobody's showing up. You've got NFL teams that are saying, you got the Buffalo Bills saying, oh, we're only going to require, you know, everybody that's in is going to have to be vaccinated. We've got the Las Vegas Raiders saying the same thing. It's not going to, your stadium will not be full. You've got celebrities speaking out about it. You've got Nicki Minaj speaking out about it. I mean, listen, Nicki Minaj is unqualified to give you advice on just about everything, except for, isn't she the one that was like robbing people when she was like stripping and rohypnoling them and then robbing them? I don't know. But she's onto it. She came out and gave the story about her cousin's friend's boyfriend or something whose balls got all swollen up from the vaccine. And then she got a taste of the mainstream media treatment. When you get off of the established narrative, oh, she's crazy. She's this. She doesn't know what she's talking about. Yeah, she's probably crazy. She probably is uneducated. She probably doesn't know what she's talking about a variety of things. But she's caught this one. She's recognized, I don't think I'm going to do it. I think there might be some side effects. And I think you all should pay attention to these side effects. Oh, and they came for her. They came for her because you can't speak out against the cult of COVID without being attacked by the woke mob. Because that's normal, right? The science is settled. Nicki Minaj out there pissing all over the science. It's glorious. It's really funny to see. I never thought I would ever say anything nice about Nicki Minaj in my life, but like, okay, all right. And the third leg of this stool that Biden has destroyed is the economy. And I think the thing about the economy is that it's like a large cargo ship. It takes a long time to get that thing turned around. All the movements that you make with regard to policies that impact the economy usually take months to be felt. So there's always a bit of a delayed reaction with it, but the inflation is out of control. And I'm not going to place all of that on Biden because Trump was the president in 2020 when 40% of all the dollars in existence were created. And that is a recipe for hyperinflation. The fact that we haven't gotten hyperinflation is probably just a matter of time. We've gotten at least 10% inflation on consumer goods almost across the board. Good luck trying to buy a used car right now. The prices of those are going through the roof. We have a supply chain catastrophe that's happening in China. We've got cargo ships backed up all over the place at the port of Los Angeles. Now, you know, none of this stuff happened before. The port of Los Angeles is a very efficient port. I know because when I worked in industrial real estate, that was part of my region, was down there, Torrance, Long Beach, Signal Hill, all that area. It's a well-oiled machine. You've got cargo ships coming in. You've got massive railway stations there that truck that stuff out. You've got trucks. You've got 605 freeway, 710 freeway, right? Everything's right there to get goods in, dropped off at the port, and out efficiently. And in all the 10 years I lived in the South Bay, the area close to the port of Los Angeles, I never heard of cargo ships backing up. I never heard of any of this. This is all brand new. It's like they just up and forgot how to do their job. Or we're having the supply chain intentionally manipulated, which I think is probably, what's happening. We've got an eviction moratorium, which is coming to an end, and that is going to create a catastrophe for anybody in the multifamily industry. I run a real estate brokerage in Las Vegas. I have multifamily clients. We're looking at things. We're keeping our eyes open. There's going to be a lot of opportunities, but there's going to be a lot of weirdness too. And that ties in also with BlackRock, who the Biden administration is deeply in bed with, and BlackRock's going to buy everything. I mean, they're buying everything. They're buying things, everything they can get their hands on in regard to single family homes. But once you've bankrupted all of the mom and pop apartment complex owners by not allowing them to collect any sort of money from their tenants for the last 18 months, you put them completely out of it. You put them in foreclosure because they can't pay their bills. Who do you think is going to come in and swoop in and buy those apartment complexes? BlackRock. They've already said they're going to do it. We know they're going to do it. And how are they going to do it? How are they going to get finance for that? Well, they have the Fed who's partnering with them to give them as much money as they need to acquire these toxic assets. Toxic, I use in air quotes, because there's nothing toxic about them. There's nothing toxic about this apartment complex, except for the fact that you've made it illegal for the people to pay their rent anymore. You've given them the option to not pay their rent. So what do you think they're going to do? They're not going to pay their rent. But, you know, think about this. Think about when Biden was campaigning. What did he say? He said, we're going to build back better. And what did we say? We know where that term comes from. That's from the World Economic Forum. And what did the World Economic Forum say? You'll own nothing and never be happier. Why will you own nothing? Well, you'll own nothing because BlackRock will own it. Like the homes that they're buying, like the apartments that they're sitting on the sidelines just waiting to go in and start purchasing as soon as all of those apartment complex owners wind up in foreclosure or bankruptcy. You'll own nothing and like it, Klaus Schwab said. So Biden's incompetence with regard to the economy, you know, very well may be coming at the direction of the World Economic Forum. It may be under pressure from them, part of the plan from them. Because remember, if you're going to build back better, it implies that you have to destroy what is currently there. Otherwise, they'd say build it better, not build it back better. You're building it back because there used to be something there before and it's no longer there. And what used to be there before was our normal life. And they have destroyed that so that they can build it back better in the image of the World Economic Forum. So who's calling the shots here with Biden? Is it the World Economic Forum? Is it China? Remember, he said that there's a dark winter coming. And they ran a simulation called Dark Winter many, many years ago. So we know that they know that we know that they know that something's coming. And my guess on this, in order to fully ram through any sort of legislation that might be subject to going either direction, would be to have something happen that makes everybody, almost everybody, come together in universal agreement that something must be done about this situation. And my assumption is, and it's a guess, but it's an educated guess based on a long history of how the government operates, that there's no line they won't cross, and that they love false flags. My assumption and my prediction is that you will see an anti-vax related false flag attack, something that will happen that will be blamed on the anti-vaccine movement, probably in conjunction with something having to do with guns so that they can demonize that. And we will see the Biden administration use this anti-vax related false flag event as the pretext to move for more draconian measures, mandates, removal of freedoms, impositions of authoritarian healthcare dictates like they're currently doing. And it will all be done to thunderous applause by the dumbed down general public. I hope it doesn't happen. But you can see the mentality of these people. They never miss an opportunity to let a crisis go to waste. As you know, Rahm Emanuel, that psychopath, once stated, because that's how they think. They think we need to be controlled. They think we're too dumb to navigate life on our own. So I don't look forward to that. But after, you know, we're 8 months or so in to the Biden administration, and the signs all point to a very disjointed administration, a president that is falling apart mentally. He has a hard time with words. He's aggressive and confrontational with the citizens, at least half the citizens of the country. He's tired of you. His patience has worn out with you. He hates your guts because you're not doing what he wants you to do. But why would you? Just look around. I don't see a whole lot of victories in the Biden administration. I dread the next couple of years. I don't believe he will be the president for long. I do believe that he will be swapped out at some point. He's after his useful, after he's used up and discarded, because that's how they operate. That is always how they operate. They will use these people up. They will use us up. Cannon fodder for the empire, and dismissed when their useful life is no longer needed. But I could be wrong. The Biden administration could be turn out to be the strongest administration ever, right? And they fix all these problems, right? I'm not holding my breath on that one. Hey, listen, if you like this episode, you want to share it with your friends and family, please do so. Take the additional step of just the little share function on there. You can get this out to everybody. And if you want to connect with me, you can do so at my website, theoctopusofglobalcontrol.com. You can follow me on Twitter at macroaggressions. You can buy my brand new book, Hypocrisy, on my website, or you can go to amazon.com and find it there. Thanks, everybody. I will talk to you soon. We'll be right back.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Ever notice your dog slowing down and having health issues and wonder, what can I do to make them better? Well, my friend, add Rough Greens to your dog's food for 90 days and I guarantee you'll see changes that will amaze you. Greetings, naturopathic Dr. Dennis Black, inventor of Rough Greens here, and I invite you to give your pup the Rough Greens 90-Day Challenge. In the first 30 days, you'll see shinier coats and increased energy. By day 60, your dog will have a stronger immune system, less shedding, improved joint function, all due to the live nutrients that you've added to their diet. And at 90 days, better digestion, reduced inflammation, improved heart health, and you may even have reduced their cancer risk. Fetch your dog a free Jumpstart trial bag today. Go to TryRoughGreens.com. Use promo code TRYRUFF. That's TRYRUFF. Go to TryRoughGreens.com. Use promo code TRYRUFF. You just cover the shipping. You don't have to change your dog's food to improve your dog's health. Just add a scoop of Rough Greens.
Some matches are temporary, but your privacy shouldn't be. With Line 2, you get a second phone line just for dating. No need to share your personal number until you're ready. You can chat, text, and even block numbers, all while keeping things fun and private. It's perfect for online dating, blind dates, or just keeping things light. When you're ready to move on, Line 2 lets you cut ties without any drama. Dating should be fun and carefree. Line 2 keeps it that way. Ready to date on your terms? Visit line2.com/audio or download Line 2 in the App Store today.
Ever notice your dog slowing down and having health issues and wonder, what can I do to make them better? Well, my friend, add Rough Greens to your dog's food for 90 days and I guarantee you'll see changes that will amaze you. Greetings, naturopathic Dr. Dennis Black, inventor of Rough Greens here, and I invite you to give your pup the Rough Greens 90-Day Challenge. In the first 30 days, you'll see shinier coats and increased energy. By day 60, your dog will have a stronger immune system, less shedding, improved joint function, all due to the live nutrients that you've added to their diet. And at 90 days, better digestion, reduced inflammation, improved heart health, and you may even have reduced their cancer risk. Fetch your dog a free Jumpstart trial bag today. Go to TryRoughGreens.com. Use promo code TRYRUFF. That's TRYRUFF. Go to TryRoughGreens.com. Use promo code TRYRUFF. You just cover the shipping. You don't have to change your dog's food to improve your dog's health. Just add a scoop of Rough Greens.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.